Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
All right, how you guys doing? I'm back. I was on a little bit of a hiatus. I won't say hiatus. I was actually on a trip. I went to London for a few days. Then I went to France for a few days. And then I went to Egypt for a few days.
And got treated like a war criminal.
I should probably grab that. I've got a story I'm going to tell you guys about that. You know what? I'm going to grab that real quick. Okay, so this thing that you guys see right here, this is a normal drone. Okay, this is a DJI Mavic drone. I use it. I've used it for, I don't know, for a long time. I've had it for years. Now, this thing also now has a really janky...
It's a piece of cardboard with string and super glue.
So this was at...
It's like my kid's glue gun.
I don't know, probably 2 in the morning. I landed inside of Egypt at midnight, roughly midnight. I think it was like 11:30, actually. Landed there, and come to find out, these are illegal inside of the country of Egypt. Apparently, it's due to terrorism... Or try to tamper down on terrorisms or terrorist acts of them looking at their military bases, because for some odd reason they also put them directly in the center of these cities and they just have big walls. It's really kind of terrible. I don't know why they did that. But it's literally in the center of Cairo. There's military installations, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But they did that, and I guess they don't want you flying them around their sites, which, to be honest with you guys, that country reminded me of another version of Iraq. I think it's just that type of culture, their culture, the Arabic culture, they treat stuff like it's trash, literally. Like, Arab streets are still full of trash. It's just the same kind of thing. At least people were nice. They weren't trying to kill me like inside of Iraq or Afghanistan. But they did this. So this is the goofiest thing ever. My wife had no understanding of really this culture over there inside of, I guess you'd say, the Middle East. She didn't really understand the way they treat women over there and how they're... Like, the dogs are about the equivalent of a girl.
Yeah, it was one of the first questions I asked you. It was like, how'd Cammy feel?
She didn't really understand what it was like.
And she's like, why is everybody ignoring me?
No one, they didn't really want to acknowledge her or talk to her. But the thing was, is this right here was cut off of a piece of trash, random box that was just sitting in the middle of their TSA area. And they questioned me for about 3-ish to 4-ish hours. I went to 7 different offices. And I was having to have a conversation with my police officer guy who was like, I got to see every single bit of the Cairo airport. I got to go down inside of a tunnel system to 2 different elevators. And there's the lack of security there is indescribable. Like, I cannot. It's you can bribe your way through anywhere, which I found that out at the very end. Mm-hmm. So I had to pay a bribe to actually get my drone back.
Yeah.
But I had to pay their government $210, which was like $5 our money, just to get my drone out of its really small little cage. But the guy, the government official, and my little handler who was holding on to my passport, at the very end, they said, you're going to take care of us, right? And did this. I had to literally pay them to bribe them to get my stuff back.
Did I ever tell you about me bribing the Ukrainian police force and having a like? Yeah.
I did not hear that story.
Really?
No, I didn't hear that story.
Oh, bro. Oh, it's so wild. I get woke up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, we had just got these. We'll call them attachments. Okay. So we had just got these attachments over there. And apparently one of the dudes didn't have his international license or he had some problem, but he got in a car accident, right? And this dude gets in a car accident probably, I don't know, a couple miles away from where we were staying. And they're like, yo, Matt, wake up. We need you. Like, your Russian skills, go use them, right? So go down to this intersection. They got this dude like in handcuffs in the back of a car. And I asked the cop, I'm like, dude, what the hell is going on? Like, what are you doing with my guy over here? You know, this is my buddy. What are you doing with him? He's like, oh, it was really foggy out. Right. And he drove through an intersection and T-boned somebody. Not fast, at like 10 miles an hour, but they arrested him because he didn't have a license and they're questioning his paperwork and stuff. Right. They're like, look, we're taking them back to the station. You're welcome to accompany if you want. I was like, cool, man, I'll be there. So I follow them all back to the police station, and I fill out a sworn statement for the guy, right? So I write out a sworn statement for this freaking dude. And they're like, all right, so we're keeping his ID and he's going to be in jail. It's like, what? No, no, he's not staying in jail. Like, you are not leaving this man in jail. And the cop's like, well, I'm about to get off duty. And I was like, come here, man, let me talk to you. So I pull him to the side and like run to the side. I'm like, look, bro, this guy isn't going to jail. Like, what do I got to do to make that happen? Like, I need your help if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Like, this guy is not going to jail, right? So this freaking cop goes, he checks his gun back into the armory, gets off duty, and then jumps into my car, pulls our dude out. Like, they didn't even put him in the jail cell, but like takes him and escorts us, like proceeds to go downtown into the city and starts escorting us around from one government office to the next. Doesn't tell me shit. Right. He doesn't tell me a freaking thing. Nothing. This cop is just going through and getting paperwork stamped and like going from office to office to office. And eventually we go into like this. I don't know. We go into it like another building. And this dude's like, yeah, just stand right here. I was like, all right, I'm standing there. They open the door and he's like, yeah, we're going to be next. It's like, OK, again, doesn't tell me where we're at. And it didn't look like a courthouse. Right. Opens the door and we're standing before a judge. With a court reporter, right? And this is after, like right after Russia invaded, you know what I mean? And this judge is like sitting there and he's pissed because he only wants Ukrainian spoke in the courtroom. I don't speak Ukrainian. I speak Russian. So the judge is yelling at me in Ukrainian. I don't understand it. The cop speaks Russian. And so when the judge would ask me a question, I could kind of get it. And I'd be like, yeah, but, and I would go to talk and he'd be like, don't speak that language in my courtroom, and just starts going off on me. And so then the freaking cop would have to translate what the judge was saying to me. And then I would have to tell the cop, and then the cop would translate it to the judge in Ukrainian. Right. And eventually it just ends up being that the dude ran a stop sign, that's what the judge was pissed that like our guy ran a stop sign and got in a car accident, charged him like $20 fine. And then we left and then went around and paid all the different fines. Right. And so we go and we pay these different fines. And then the cop's like, hey, can you help me pick up groceries real quick and run them back to my apartment? No bullshit. So after doing all this wild, right? He's like, yo, we need to pick up groceries and run them back to my apartment. Take the dude on a grocery run, drop the shit off at his apartment. And then we go back to the police station where like our car's impounded at, and kick the support dude out of the car. Be like, yo, go, and I'll meet you back at the place. You know what I mean? Kick him out the car. And I go to back away, and I was driving a van, and I go to back away and I run into a Ukrainian cop car, and I was just like, it, and I took off. I rolled out, and as I'm driving down the road, my cell phone rings, and it's like that same dude, and he's like, yo, Matt, he's like I need you to come back here, they arrested me again. I was like, for what? He's like, because you hit a cop car and drove away. I was like, shit. Oh my God. I was like, all right, man. So I go back to the police station, right? So I go back to the police station. I'm standing in the parking lot, and the guy's like, this is bad. You just hit a cop car. And I was like, well, whose car did I hit? And he's like, you hit the chief's car. I was like, you got to be shitting me. He's like, nope, I'm going to have to take you inside. We're going to do paperwork. And I was like, look, dude, I'm not doing that. I was like, go get the chief. Like, and he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, look, man, like, are you really that dumb? I was like, I'm an American. Look at where we're standing. And I'm speaking Russian. I work for the embassy. Go get your boss. And he goes and he gets his boss and he comes back out. And so he, like, now I'm dealing with the chief and I'm like, yo, dude, I don't know how to tell you this. I don't have time to deal with this shit. I'll give you an insight on who I am, but I'm going to pay for the repairs and we're getting the fuck out of here. And the guy's like, come with me. And we walk around and we're still standing in the parking lot of the police station. And I was like, what are we doing? He's like, there's cameras everywhere. I was like, all right, cool. So we jump in a cop car and the dude like starts freaking hit me up for money, right? I'm like, yeah, of course, I'm gonna pay for the, like, how much is it? I end up paying like $500 or whatever to this guy, and I end up pulling money out of my underwear, you know what I mean, and being like, here, this is the last like $5 I've got, take it or leave it, man. He's like, I'll take it. It's like, cool, we're out. After that, I had that dude on my payroll, and like it was just fun. Like, Ukrainian forces back then, they were crooked as f- and you could away with a lot. Sure,
they're still the same a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm sure it still has changed. I mean, in certain areas, it probably got a little bit better, but I mean, it's still considered a third world country. You know what I mean? In certain parts, yeah, 100%. Maybe not Kiev.
I wouldn't go third world.
Not Kiev. I'm talking about outside of that. 100%. You don't think so?
I mean, some of the some of the villages, I mean, they're a little bit run down, but they still have like grocery. Like I can go in and buy groceries and shit like that. Like it's not.
There's like nothing there. That's what I'm saying.
Where?
No, in all the areas that actually have conflict right now.
Oh, those places are no.
I'm not talking about like
the. No, those places that are in conflict are just.
Hell, some of the places on inside of Kiev look a lot better than here in America in certain areas.
Sometimes, yeah.
I was looking at the McDonald's and the inside of the store. So I actually could pull the video up right now of we have a little bit of a mental health crisis here in America, but there's like a person inside of a Philadelphia store shoving cake all over her body when she's butt naked. And then it pans to like a grocery store in Kiev and everybody's like nice. And there's like banana. It just looks really clean. You're like, wow, welcome to America. I am glad to be back. I will say this was a bit of a fiasco, but I did pick up this. This is really cool. I did buy a bunch of World War II stuff. You're probably not going to find one of these or see one of these or touch one of these. You might find a non-painted one, or I don't know. You may not be able to buy one, but I bought this. It was a 4th Infantry Division helmet. I don't know if it was used on D-Day. I do know they landed on Utah Beach, so could have been. This helmet was found up in the northern region of Normandy. Usually that would mean that the guy was killed that was carrying the helmet, or maybe he got a new one. I would assume he probably didn't get a new one.
Blasted off his head. Yeah. Be found again.
Hey, well, that is what it is, but this was found. It does have the insert. It is pretty neat. It has some dents on the top. I paid too much money for this, but it's a piece of history you can't really replicate. I guess they can make fakes of it, but I know where I got it. I got it in Normandy at a shop. It's kind of funny is the enlisted ones like this sell for double of the officers.
What?
Yep. Officer ones were like, I think it's like $1,300, $1,400, $1,500, but these are like $3,000.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they didn't do anything.
Well, you would think there'd be less officer helmets than there is enlisted helmets.
It depends. There was a lieutenant colonel. I mean, how many times did we have any lieutenant colonel actually on the ground doing anything super, super wild? But if it's like a first lieutenant, second lieutenant, like captain, those are like, if they had like the person's name on them.
Dude, I get that, but there's still... Just by numbers, going to be less of them.
But look at this. Like, this is like, I mean, look how.
Yeah, that's.
But the lieutenant colonel helmet was like clean. Like, it looked like a person may have never worn it, like sat inside their office or something or in their truck. But this thing's beat up. I think it's cool. But that's pretty much what I've been doing. Traveling around Europe. I'm not going to be leaving again for a while. So you guys get to deal with me for a little bit. Now, I know you guys got a little bit irritated with Tardia while I was gone.
Yeah, they did.
Which I find to be somewhat ironic because the whole point of this show is to actually tell it how it is. You know, if the Ukrainians are losing or if they're a stalemate or if the Russians are winning a certain time, I've always been able to tell you guys, and I have. For the most part, I mean, I'll tell you guys, Ukrainians, we want the Ukrainians to win. I mean, him and I both, we don't want the Russians to win. That's not really the end goal. But me going out there claiming, and I've actually said this about the Russians as well, that the Ukrainians are winning. Okay, well, that would be somewhat naive to say, because right now it's like the largest stalemate in the American government's even saying. I mean, you had a clip you actually showed me earlier.
Yeah.
Like them, that was the DIA?
Yeah, the chief of staff of the DIA.
Stating that they're in a stalemate. I mean, you can't really say at that point that the Ukrainians are winning or the Russians are winning. In all actualities, more or less, I'd like to go on a limb here and say the longer the war goes on, the better chance you can probably say the Russians are going to win.
For multiple reasons, they're just going to continue to improve their fighting positions. They're just going to continue to improve their defense. That's it. And the longer they hold that terrain, the more claim they're going to try to put over it, just like they did with Crimea.
Well, one of the hardest things I know that they're having an issue with right now is mined areas. Now, the reasons why these areas are so heavily mined and fortified is because they've had such a very long time to build up defenses in these areas. And that's why the counteroffensive is going so slow. I think we're about, a month and some change into it. Now, I will say someone, and you actually noted that I didn't think it was like D-Day. And you said, depending on who the person is.
I can understand their opinion on D-Day. You know, like, or their view saying it's more or less like D-Day, but it's not. No, I mean, it's
at this point,
I get it, but it's not.
A little different. So D-Day history, it took us, we'll just say, 3 weeks or so to really cut the Germans off in the north. Now, there were certain areas like Carentan, which if you guys have never been to Carentan, I've been there a few times. It is a city, and granted, the war was different, but it was It still took us 5 days to take that city. And the Germans held it like a mother. Like, they really did. The Germans had a counteroffensive a day after we took it, or maybe even that following morning or something like that. And we did fend it off, and that's what really put a huge hurt and hit Hitler, and we started pushing around. But the same kind of thing you would expect to be happening inside of Ukraine, but it's not, because they're having to deal with much more mined areas. And when they, I hope at some point they're going to push through one of these larger cities down in the southern region, which is more of a vast, open, rolling hill kind of ground, that maybe they'll push through after they get through all these mine fields and these dragon teeth, these layers of trenches and all, so on and so forth. And they'll actually be able to do what we did in World War II and go and cut off either east or west and really cut off all the supply routes. That's what we did as Americans back in World War II.
Right.
But I think we also had tremendous leadership back then. My God. I don't know if you guys know a lot about the history of World War II, but the leadership, the choices they made was second to none. It really was. And yeah. Unfortunately, I've spent way too much time studying World War II, and maybe it's just because I'm addicted to that period of time.
Anyway. Well, if the Ukrainian forces push out of Kherson and they make it all the way over to Mariupol, and they get all the way over there, and they actually
they're not going to be able to do that, though.
And they cut Crimea off, and they keep that bridge shut down. If they keep the bridge shut down and they cut off the land bridge as well, then Crimea itself is cut off, and eventually those Russians are going to run out of steam in there. But that's going to take so much time.
I just don't think they have the resources to do it in that area. I really just don't.
So I got to make a correction, because one of the things I said in the last video was that the New York Times reported 20% of the equipment that was given to Ukraine has been lost in the counteroffensive. And it was the misquote was 20% of the equipment that was provided and moved to the front line has been destroyed in the counteroffensive.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty easy mess up there.
But. Might be.
You know what? Let's face it. After a night with drinks, which tonight is actually his night to drink endlessly, I don't bounce back like I used to. But you know what? Now that we've gotten older, we need Z-Biotics. Like, we all have busy lives here and days we can't afford to lose and waste an entire day stuck in the couch because of a few drinks the night before. Z-Biotics is the answer we've all been looking for. So Z-Biotics is the first pre-alcohol probiotic that was genetically engineered. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you guys drink alcohol, it gets converted into a toxic byproduct inside of the gut. It's this byproduct that kills you pretty much. Not the dehydration. That's the thing that is there to blame for the next day. Now, Z-Biotics produces an enzyme to break down this byproduct completely. It is designed to work like your liver, but in your gut when you need it most. Just remember to drink Z-Biotics before you guys drink alcohol, drink responsibly, and get a good night's sleep to feel your best tomorrow. Now, like I said, I'm old. He's old. Well, I'm getting old. And it sucks. You guys know, if you guys are watching this, you guys are 30 plus. You do not bounce back. This is what you need to give them a shot. Give them a try, because every time I have Z-Biotics before drinking, it makes it such a massive difference the next day. Even after a few drinks the night before, I know I'm going to be struggling, so I drink this prior. So all you got to do is go to zbiotics.com/Rob to get 15% off your first order when you guys use promo code Rob. Check out, it'll be linked in the very top description as well. So go ahead, also sign up for the subscription using my code. You guys can stay prepared no matter the occasion. Zbiotics is backed by 100% money back guarantee. So if you guys are unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No question asked. Remember to head over to zbiotics.com/Rob and use code Rob at checkout to get 15% off. Thank you to Zbiotics for sponsoring this episode. Now, I didn't dive headfirst in this whole Gherkin thing. I'm not a big fan of this guy. I never really showed his stuff on here, because I think he's just... Anyway, he was arrested this morning. Do you know much about this guy?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah, he's not... I don't really know why he was arrested. Don't really care, to be honest with you. I just know he kind of reminds me of the Alex Jones of Russia, but they did arrest him this morning. So I never really put his stuff on here just because I thought it was kind of wild. But I will say that Putin's kind of going out on some limbs here. Poland has decided to shift even more troops in the eastern side of the country because they're worried about Prigozhin's men inside of Belarus somehow doing something inside of Poland, which I believe I read something later on stating that now Prigozhin's not really worried about anything that's happening inside of the Ukrainian area. He's going to be shifting all of his men back to Africa. I don't know did you read that this morning? I read that this morning. Don't know how true it is. I know that the CIA put something out as well. I know I'm not diving headfirst into stuff because it's really just kind of random stuff.
The only good information I've seen as far as like what's happening in Poland is Putin talking about Poland essentially being a gift from Stalin or something like that back in the day. But if you look at the terrain that's in between Poland and Belarus, or I'm sorry, Poland and Lithuania, there's this small little territory that's within there, and it's called Kaliningrad, if I said that right. Kaliningrad? Kaliningrad's like Russian territory, and there is, I want to say it's like a 50-mile stretch. It might be less than that, but there's like a 50-mile stretch that connects Poland and Lithuania together.
Yeah, I know where it's at.
Yeah, and that's that little piece of land that they're assuming that Wagner or Belarusian forces, whoever, if there's going to be some sort of attack on NATO, that they're going to go and push and try to take that in order to cut off the NATO countries from each other.
I don't know if I don't know. And then you got the stuff in the Black Sea where Russia's claiming they're going to hit any or deem any transport vessel, I guess you would say, as a military target.
Russia,
see that being the smartest play.
Russia was claiming that Ukraine was using the grain deal in order to transport munitions and equipment.
They might be. I don't know.
Right. Now, the counter to that is Russia was inspecting all the cargo. But when you picture the amount of cargo ships that are going in and out, they're not opening every single box. They're not doing like that. They're probably checking paperwork.
They could be. I mean, who knows? Maybe we did some crazy stuff back in, I bring this up again, World War II. We did the same kind of stuff with the French.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. F-16s for Ukraine. People keep touting these things are going to happen this year. I have no idea.
I played on the last episode, but there's Millie talking here. This will be interesting for you to kind of like catch you up. And if you guys missed the last episode, this is a good one. So here's the United States Joint Chief of Staff talking about air power.
So the real problem is the minefields. It's not right now the air power. Now, having said that, just do a quick math drill here. 10 F-16s are $2 billion. So the Russians have hundreds of fourth and fifth generation airframes. So if they're going to try to match the Russians one for one, or even, you know, 2-1, you're talking about a large number of aircraft. That's going to take years to train the pilots, years to do the maintenance and sustainment, years to generate that degree of financial support to do that. You're talking way more billions of dollars than has already been generated. So the key thing is to focus on air defense, focus on the blocking and tackling sort of offensive combined arms maneuver, which is artillery. At both long-range and short-range artillery, and then get in your engineers and your mine-breaching equipment. That's the kind of stuff they need. That's what they want. That's what they're asking for.
Yeah, okay. So I think we all kind of knew that. I mean,
it's going to take a long time. The deal is that the F-16s that were provided, the Ukrainian pilots were supposed to be trained up in July. Then it got pushed back to August. Now I'm reading things that they're saying that they're not even going to get those pilots trained until the fall.
I think me and you have had this question, or I guess you say this argument. Supplying Ukraine, say, with the X amount of Bradleys we have, or just tanks, or it doesn't really matter. It's never has been enough yet to actually move the needle any what's way. Like 10 jets? 10.
Mm-hmm.
Really? 10?
Yeah.
What is that going to do? Is it another little, you know what this kind of reminds me of? You know what this whole thing reminds me of? And this is going to piss some people off at their officers. I think it reminds me of a OER bullet. It's all this reminds me of.
Oh, yeah.
This reminds me of some stupid OER bullet.
Saying, look at all these great things we're doing.
Look at all these things we've done. You haven't done anything.
No.
10 jets?
10
bullshit.
Jets.
And they're not going to be, you know why they're not going to be able to use them, motherfucker? Because they're going to be too scared to lose them in battle because it'll be bad.
Yeah, once those are gone, they're gone.
They're gone.
That's 10 times harder to replace.
You can't ship 10 of them out to these guys and be like, you know what? You can use them up around Kiev. That's it. Well, what the front's like, why the fuck? What are we doing? What are you talking about? Yeah. This is what it reminds me of. All you guys and gals that have been in the military, this is what this reminds me of. Some cherry ass officer that is trying to get his OER bullet so he can move up in the ranks. That's all it is.
That's my largest complaint is we're providing just enough to keep it drawn out.
Entertaining. This is entertainment.
Yeah. And you might have missed it. Like, so when you were gone, I was reporting on like 155 shells and the amount that
they're going through more than we can currently produce.
Ukraine needs 350,000 shells a month. Roughly 350 shells a month. And we're producing not even 50K right now. Like, we're hoping to have about 50K produced here in the United States by the end of 2023.
But that's the other thing is we have not even kicked on our war machine.
No.
Like, we have, like, here in America, we have not even flip the switch to anything. How many of our manufacturing plants here in America have the ability to instantly switch over?
Well, a lot of them. And there's a law that says, like, during a time of conflict or whatever, that the U.S. can. But we're not going to do that right now. We're trying to ramp up stuff, and then we're counting on the EU to go over. And that's why those cluster munitions were being provided over to Ukraine, was to help the shortfall.
And why we have to pay for all of it? That's the other question. Why can't our buddies overseas in the
They EU? Are. They're providing a lot of stuff.
I know, but I'm talking about the 155 rounds. If they're going through 350,000 a month, we can only produce 50,000.
They are providing more. I mean, they're providing, like, and they've got plans. I think they attributed a couple million dollars, or I forget what the hell the figure was, but the EU is, you know, cutting money to start going to production of it. But it's going to take time, man. It takes time. Like, the U.S. is saying that we're trying to ramp things up to 50,000 by the end of the year. That's not that much.
No.
So somebody's got to make up for that.
When you look at the numbers in comparison, we'll go back to World War II, because I keep going back there, with the stuff that is being manufactured for the war efforts. And, like, this is why I feel like it's such a, it's almost, it's, I don't know, it's such a political piece at this point here in America, because, I mean, we're going into 2024, and I think this is going to be a bunch of talking points for them. But if the left is losing, because it's pretty much, as we know, the left is pretty much on the Ukrainian side, and the right pretty much doesn't want Ukraine, and it's just such awkward. And that's what's funny about you guys that are on there. You guys, hey, whenever we talk about Biden, we do some dumb shit, like, well, you guys are idiots. I'll read you guys in the comments every once. Well, the thing is, if we're sitting having a conversation about Ukraine, which the left is pretty much all about Ukraine, and I've been talking about Ukraine for what? I don't even know how many months now. 18 months?
More than that, man, because we were doing it at the start of the show before Russia even invaded. We were talking about it.
So if me and him are pretty much, we don't care about left and or right. We just want to be honest about it. If it's fucked, it's fucked. And right now, I don't even know what to do. Like, we're at a weird time where they should be doing something, but here in America, where no one cares enough, like, no one here in America gives any f**ks about the war inside of Ukraine. And you guys may think so because you guys actually might watch from here in America. But I promise you, I've said this many a times, if I gave him a mic and walked him over to the local grocery store and said, hey, what are your thoughts on Ukrainian war? Every single person there would either say, yeah, we don't really care. Maybe hopefully Russia, we said,
yeah, we should do that.
What? And we should actually.
We should go do that.
We should act. I just want to prove that here in America, it is like no one gives any f- about the war inside of Ukraine. It depends on also where you live. If I go to like northern New York or maybe like Seattle, you might see a few more like Ukrainian flags. But for the most part, 90% of America does not give a f-. They just want Russia to lose. But they also don't want to spend enough money, because if you bring up the money piece, they're like, okay, why don't we spend it on like our homeless vets or a homeless problem here
or our schools.
Borders or our schools or like this. That's what they say. But me, I'm like the guy in the middle. I'm like, you know what, Russia, let's go ahead and just mollywop the shit out of them, throw some cash at this bitch, and just send the guys in there to do their job and just get it over with. That's all I'm like, get it done.
But I don't think we should be committing U.S. troops to go forward and do that.
No, I'm talking about NATO. Throw as much of our shit at it as you possibly can. Kick on the war machine, end this bitch, and let's be done. But they're not going to. Millie, they want it to be drawn out, and which I don't entirely know why. He even says it's going to be throughout this year going into next year.
I mean, if you want to get into conspiracy theories, I can, but like my...
Sure. I want to hear your thought. Right now, I feel like I don't ever go on little rants like that. That's probably the first one I've done in a while.
Yeah, my rant on it is the fact that I think U.S. politicians want to draw it out. There's numerous, you go find them, of people investing, politicians investing in companies. They go into office without much money whatsoever. And by the time they leave, they're multimillionaires. And the reason they're doing that is because they're investing in the stock market, investing in different companies that they're going to ramp things up. And so when they keep this war drawn out, the war machine, like we just talked about, to 50, you know, going from whatever it was, 25 to 50,000 shells, right, this year, that's people are going to be investing in those companies. And the freaking war machine, right, companies like Lockheed Martin that are sending billions of dollars worth of or maybe not billions, but millions of dollars worth of shit over there. That's money is being lined inside politicians' pockets.
I probably have invested in Lockheed Martin myself, to be honest with you. That and Raytheon. I know for a fact I've invested quite a bit of money myself, but that's because I'm not an idiot. May as well hop on the train while it's running.
Yeah. And then they're taking it and they're playing on Americans' feelings and stuff. Russia's bad. Russia's
not
bad.
Not right now.
No, they're not now. Russia is bad. I'm not standing up for Russia. Russia's bad. Yeah.
We're gonna make that video. It's gonna happen because I'm gonna prove to everybody that's watching that is from a different country, because I think like 60% of our viewership is not even American at this point. I'm gonna prove to them that
You know where we should go? We should just go downtown Dallas.
I can go. It doesn't matter what city we go into here in Texas. It does not matter. I promise you. No one knows what the f*** is going on.
I think we should go downtown Dallas. You know why?
Why?
Because a giant chunk of the American population in these major cities is all left. Yeah. And we should just go down there. We should just go do it. We should go knock it out.
That's fine. I think we should. I think we're going to actually do that because I think that'll be absolutely phenomenal. Just walk around with a mic. What do you think about the war in Yugoslavia, Karen? I'm going to venture out to say, half the people say, I don't really care.
And we'll play them all.
I'm not going to hide it. I don't really care.
Yeah, we won't string it to make it, maybe we're wrong. Maybe Americans are really caught up on this war and this conflict and they know what's going on.
If they were caught up, if the American population actually cared, then CNN and Fox would be chirping it every single day like they
do. But they're not.
They're not chirping it at all.
They're not. Most Americans probably don't even know what's going on.
Has there been anything going on? That is the real question. Over the last 24 hours.
So over the last 24 hours, Odessa's been hammered again overnight. Yes. And it's not just military targets that they're going after. They're also going after the grain silos and things like that. So they're actually, Russia's, in my opinion, is screwing up pretty freaking bad because they're targeting a bunch of grain silos and things like that. Other than that, there's also some reports of about 100,000 Russian troops that are amassing outside of Kupiansk, like over behind the Russian lines. And Russia has actually started pushing forward up there. And they're about, I want to say it was like 9 kilometers or so. About 9 clicks yeah. to get inside Kupiansk from how far out they are, and they've amassed, and it was confirmed by, I want to say it was British intelligence, but they amassed about 100,000 troops outside of there, and they're going to, the rumor is, start pushing north towards Kharkiv.
I don't know. I did see that. I just don't know. Kharkiv was one of the more difficult areas for them to take at the very beginning of the war. I don't see that actually being a thing. I did see the report that's coming from the EU or no, it's coming from. It's not ISW. It's somewhere. I think it might have been to Britain.
Well, the thing is I don't think that they really care about sacking the city. I think that they know that Ukraine's focus is now going to be on the south and taking over Crimea. And if they send 100,000 troops and start marching towards Kharkiv, that's a short distance from there to Kiev. Ukraine's going to have to divert a bunch of its forces up over there, and it's going to stall even further what's happening in the south.
Maybe. But does the Russians actually have enough forces to...
I think Russia's pretty well... I don't want to say depleted, but they're kind of stuck right now, in my opinion. They're firing a ton of their commanders. There's plenty of reports out there about Russian troops being hungry, left on the lines, things like that. But I think they're in a better position. I think they're in a much better position in order to do something like that, personally.
I got a photo I want to share with you. I guess we probably should share with everybody else.
Russia's still shooting. I want to say it's like 50,000 shells a month.
Really?
Something like, yeah, it's insane. 40 or 50,000 shells a month is what they're still cranking out.
Here, I'm going to share this. The one that you guys see on screen, I want you to look at that. There's a lot of bad things happening in that one photo.
Oh,
yeah.
Who is that? Is that U.S. force?
To be honest with you, no. If it is, it's the Marines. But I don't think it is. No, I don't think it is, actually.
That's bad. Yeah. Good thing he's got a reserve, because that main ain't going to open.
Well, he's got a reserve. Yeah, that main. How long do you think it took him to realize that his main's not going to open?
Probably about 5 seconds. I mean, you feel it the moment you jump out. Like, you know that thing got pulled, so he's just going to feel free fall at that point.
Oh, my God.
But his exit's horrible. I don't know. Like, his exit sucks.
What are you talking about?
He's not even a good paratrooper, so he probably won't figure it out for about 10, by which he'll be.
Oh, it's definitely a different country. I see, like, Asian riding or something right here.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah, he's in for a...
Hopefully he did pull his chute.
Lawn dart.
Did I tell you I actually had a lawn dart in my class?
No.
Yeah, I did. I had one. Guy from Puerto Rico, private, who just got in. He'd been in for like... Just got out of basic.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had a cigarette roll on my night jump. Like, my main had a big cigarette roll that wasn't like coming undone.
Oh, that's a little scary.
Yeah, on like my fifth jump, so it took me a while to figure it out. I was like, well, this sucks. And, you know, sit there with it forever. And by the time everything like ended up popping open, I cut my freaking equipment, and the equipment, I was so low to the ground by the time everything popped open, my equipment, when I cut it, the line didn't even pull taut
Oh, really?
before it hit the ground. So I hit like a ton of shit. And I was just like, what the hell just happened to me? Like, what was that?
But no, I had a, I guess I probably need to explain what a lawn dart is. We had a guy that, you know, you can have your air, a lot of people don't realize this, but you can have your air stolen when you're jumping, especially static line. I guess you could do it anytime, but static line's when it's mainly going to happen. Cause you're jumping at like low altitude and a lot of guys are jumping in one. I don't even know how many people jump out of a C-130. I don't remember. How many people jump out of
64?
Is it? I don't know. Oh yeah, because of the cadence. That's how you remember. Yeah. Tell me that's how you remember.
Fit like 60, 64.
I don't know. Yeah. I think basically you fit a company or something in there. I don't really matter. Or two platoons. Anyway, so this kid jumped out. I call him a kid because he was had his air stolen, which means basically if your parachute's here and you go over the top of somebody, this parachute's gonna collapse and you're just gonna fall. Anyway, apparently his parachute collapsed. And he went to go pull his reserve, and then he got wrapped up in his reserve, and nothing opened ever. And he just kept coming all the way down.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Terrible way to die. And you know what's crazy is I had to sit inside the shoot house, or I think that's what it's called there at shoot house, for like 12 or 13 or 14 hours. On my, you know, I had to sit on your hands because they don't want you touching your equipment. So I literally just sat there.
I don't think I had to do that.
Well, we had to because he would die. So.
Oh, because they wanted to inspect all this.
You know, he was the first one to jump, or the first load out, and of that day, of course. And I had just jumped. That was my second jump. Was the day that he died, and we know no one else got the jump after that day. So we all just sat there rigged up, waiting, and then we had to shove all the rest of the jumps in. Yeah, you know how many people quit though after that?
Quite a few.
There was like four when we were getting on the bird, and one of them was an E5. I remember that. What a...
Just like, I'm not doing it.
He did, yeah. He got on there, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, there's a rate of, I don't know what it is, of you getting hurt during a jump. I don't know what the... You probably know better than I do. What is it, like 8% or 10%?
I never looked into that. I didn't care.
No, there is a number.
I'm sure there is.
There's a number of how many casualties you can sustain with it still being acceptable. During an airborne operation.
Sure.
I don't...
Sorry, kids.
I don't know what it is, but anyway. Because everybody gets hurt. I mean, my back's jacked, your back's jacked. Everybody gets hurt during jumping. But this, I saw this photo and it says...
Dude, I've watched a guy's leg blow out the side.
Really?
But yeah, actually, in one of my jumps in ranger school, I landed and I'm sitting there like packing up my chute, man. And this dude's coming down and his feet are spread worse than his. They're like this as he's going to land. I was like, bro, feet, knees together, man. Like, I'm not yelling at him. I'm just watching this happen. The dude lands like 10 feet away and I just watch his leg blow out the side. I was like, holy dude.
I got drugged one time really bad. Like, where I had to get help. Like, really bad. I was drugged.
You couldn't cut it?
Couldn't get anything going. I was all wrapped. But I was like wrapped. Like, really like wrapped. And it was just dragging me. I got drug.
I had a jump at Bragg where the winds were 10 knots. And like, I think I was jumping a freaking steerable chute at the time. But
really?
Yeah. But I mean, it's still not that fast. And so the wind overtook it and it blew my right into the trees. And so I did this like tree landing. I was like, me, man. Anyways, softest landing I ever had. I was like, this is going to hurt my is about to get split wide open by a branch or whatever. So I just buckled down, man, and just let it happen. And like, I bust through the trees and I come at the bottom. I just wrap around the freaking tree trunk at the bottom. It was suspended like 3 feet off the ground.
Oh,
or I'm sorry, not even 3 feet, like a foot and a half, maybe. Like, I was touching kind of if I was stretching out. So I was like, it, I'm out. Yeah. Man. Softest landing I ever had through the trees, minus the trees.
Man.
Yeah.
I never had like super rough ones. I did, the first time I ever jumped, I didn't put my head down. Yeah, I didn't put my head down fully, and I legitimately split my nose wide. What I mean wide? Wide. My helmet caught my chute, my risers as it went, and slammed right here. Oh, my God. My first jump ever. I was so dazed and confused. I was like, oh, my God, what is going on? I couldn't see anything. I was like, this guy, what is going on?
Well, if you don't get your head down enough too, man, you'll get like bad static burn, like up the back of your neck, and it'll rip your helmet and push. It says static lines coming out on your helmet that'll rip and push up on it. And just,
well, that's what happened.
Tear your ass up.
Yeah, yeah. My nose looked like I'd been in a hellacious bar fight.
I hate static line jumps. Out of a freaking UH-60 is like, in my opinion, some of the worst because you're just eating air the entire time, like on those banks and stuff going up and around. Like, oh, dude, it's the worst.
I've only jumped out on a rope. Never jumped out of one. Anyway, well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll see you guys tomorrow. If you guys want some more stories, please let me know. Other than that, yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow or the next day. Do you love you guys? I'm out.
Yeah, on Monday when we're interviewing people in the street.